You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Coach Unplugged. So thank you so much for joining us today. We would love if you'd love leave a review down below. Those five-star reviews really do help us a lot. But before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Can't say enough great things about the people up in, where are they? I know it's a suburb of Minneapolis. I'm going to have to look that up before the next podcast. But great customer service, so easy to set up and break down. It is, we own three of them. That's probably what I've had a lot of people come and try to sponsor this podcast, but I only do sponsors that I truly believe in. I believe in Dr. Dish. I also believe in teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is my baby. It is what allows all these podcasts to go out and stay free and to all of you. So, several ways you can help us out by leaving a review, but also by checking out teachhoops.com. Right now we have a quarterly three month subscription that will, not be around forever, but we're trying some new things out. So come over and check it out and have a great day.
Last time we did the summer workouts, we did primarily shooting drills. So we did Badger full court with the three lines. Free throws in between, partner shooting with the closeout. So shooting threes, shot fake, go right, shot fake, go left.
Yep.
You went over to NBA free throw. So I think I'm good with shooting drills.
Did you do those? Have you done any of those yet?
Our kids graduate today. So
Okay.
I start, Tuesday.
Okay.
And we always did Badger drill. We just didn't call it Badger drill.
But
I like drills where you can incorporate more in one thing, and that full court is good because you're doing agility, you're doing ball handling and shooting.
Right. Yeah. I like that too.
I really like those drills where you can get two or three things. So we're doing three days a week. I'm not a teacher, so I got to be done by 9 every day.
Okay.
I think you said you guys do the same thing. We can only go to the end of July. Then they resurface the gym and volleyball starts the third week of August.
Yep. It's exactly the same.
And
yes.
All my kids play soccer or golf.
Yeah. I like leaving August open.
I do too.
I think it's like, if you want to go do whatever you want in August, just give me June and July as much as you can. And then, I just like that. I just think it's great. And it's a break from me a little bit too. So.
Yeah. We're seeing last year was COVID obviously, but this is going to be my fourth year. 2 years ago before COVID, we saw where kids had summer soccer, summer baseball, basketball, and it just got to be, it was nuts. And my kids are getting older, starting to play stuff. And so now a lot of parents are, it's kind of the habit where the first 2 weeks of August is when they go on vacation.
Yep.
And you still have people that go in July, but I'd say by far 75% of the people are just like, there's summer this, summer that, basketball camps, 4-H camps, whatever. So they're going, you know, first 2 weeks of August as a break between.
Well, in Wisconsin, you can't even, we can't start school till September 1st because there's such tourism in northern Wisconsin. So they did that to basically push, you know, the tourism in August. So, because everyone travels in August. So it's interesting.
Yeah, we're in the Finger Lakes region. You ever heard of the Finger Lakes? So we're kind of very, very small. Yeah. And the Adirondacks aren't far. Niagara Falls is a huge destination, which is closed right now, but it's only an hour and a half. So yeah, my kids got done this week, but we don't go back till the day after Labor Day.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's perfect. Okay. So what else? What I forgot what you were asking about though for today. You asked something and I forgot.
There you back.
Yeah. Was that, I don't think that was on my end. Is that on my end?
It might be my internet. I had to get on my hotspot, so I apologize.
Okay. No worries.
So anyways, I don't know where I cut off, but shooting drills, I think I'm good with. I just want to pick your brain about some of the other stuff you do during the summer workouts.
Yep. So are you talking small group or are you talking big group?
I'm going to have between 10 and 15 kids, from going into seventh to going into seniors.
Okay. And what's your objective from these other than the obviously the shooting stuff we've talked about? What's your objective?
Just skill development. We're playing in a summer league and then we play two nights a week pickup at the, local town park. So this is just more, I don't want them just playing. We probably won't play in this at all. If we do for maybe 10, 15 minutes, I want it just purely skill development.
Okay. So I would do some ball handling, but before I talk about that, I would do some small game stuff. Are they it's going to sound like a weird question. Are they basketball players? Like and what I mean by that is, do they understand the game? Do they understand?
I would definitely lean towards no.
No. Okay. So then you want to do a lot of, and I was talking to a coach, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago about this. You want to do a lot of one-on-one, two-on-two, two-on-three, three-on-three, those kind of things, especially if you're dealing with a small group like that. I even do that with my guys. First of all, they like to play. That's the first thing, which is great. But then when they're doing that in small groups, hopefully, I always hope I have an odd number, because if you do like 2-on-2, then they're always going with new people. If you got like 9 people there, it's great because they go 2-on-2, then they go 2-on-2, and then the group is always new. Because I don't like them going with the same person. But I do that from half court. And have I told you this? And I do it where so I'll start with 1-on-1. So like when I go in tomorrow, I'll go 1-on-1 and I'll give the defense, an advantage. So I'll put them 2 or 3 feet in front of the offense, and then I'll put them even, and then I'll put the defense behind, and I'll just let them play 1-on-1 half court. I do that the first day. So, and there's different things. And then I'll talk to them. It's like, okay, if you have the advantage defensively, what should you be giving up? And if you're behind 2 or 3 feet, you're just going to try to not let them have a layup and hope that your friends are going to come and help with you. So I would do that both the left side and the right side, half court going, you know. And then what we do with our guys is we limit the dribbles, or we limit the time. So I'll change it up depending on how I'm feeling that day. So sometimes I'll play 1-on-1 half court, 4 dribbles. And then sometimes I'll do 8 seconds kind of thing. So it forces the offense to attack the rim. And it also forces. So the 1-on-1 thing is more of a individual skill work. They got to be able to handle the ball. They got to be able to create, you know, and then obviously you're working on defense. So what we were talking about before, it's doing more than one thing. So I'll do that both sides. I'd probably just do that. That's 6 things, 3 things on each side going right and left, couple minutes each. man, I mean, they'll be gassed if they do this for a while. So they probably won't. I mean, you probably have to maybe even shoot free throws before you switch sides. Because the ones that haven't been playing, that will be taxing. Because you can't hide playing one-on-one. And then the next day I would come in and do two-on-two. And the same thing. But this time it's now you're teaching them how to read the game with setting screens, you know, setting a ball screen, basically, those kind of things, spacing, again, dribble time. And then sometimes I will follow that up with two on three. I'll put three defenders and two offensive players or three offensive with your group. I might put three offensive players and two defensive players. Because someone will always be open, so they'll have to read how to score. And then I wouldn't go any more than 3-on-3, and that would be the last kind of step to that progression. And when I do 3-on-3, I don't really do behind too much. I do even or give the defense an advantage, and then I'll do it for like 10, 12 seconds. And then that really works on the – because that's the reason I asked the question – 3-on-3 is an ideal game to learn the game. I think all kids before they're 12 or 13 should only play 3-on-3. We don't live in that world. Because you can't hide. You got to play defense. You got to touch the ball. You got to dribble. You got to rebound. You got to screen. You got to do everything 3-on-3. So all your playing would be 3-on-3 if you let them play. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be hard because you probably won't have 12 people there at all times, but it will teach them the skills they need to be effective basketball players. That's why I asked that specific question. That would be a big chunk of time, to be honest with you. And I would do that. I would vary it up. One day I might do 1-on-1. One day I might do 2-on-2. The next day I might do 3-on-3. Then I might do, 3-on-2. One day I might do 2-on-1. So I'd vary it up just to keep them interested, but I would try to do some variation of that just about every day.
Okay. So 3-on-3, you said just do even. 1-on-1, you have advantage, even, disadvantage. And the 2-on-2 and the
I do all three of them on the 2-on-2. Okay. And then I can, again, I'll vary it up. And with 1-on-1, obviously I don't want them going, you know, if it's an even number of players, if you have 8 players there that day, my rule is you never go with the same person more than once on a side. So if we have 9, it doesn't matter, because they'll have to switch up. But if there's 8 and it's, you go 2-on-2, 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 then the next time we come through, they got to switch up and go with someone different. Just because I want them to get different reads. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses when they play. So I want them to be able to read those. So that's a great thing for all the skill sets, because they got to be able to, and what I will do, and if sometimes during the season when I do this once in a while, I'll do it going both directions, but I don't do that in the summer because first of all, they're not in shape. And second of all, I probably don't have the numbers to do it. And what I mean is I have 2 lines going each way at half court, right? So one going at one basket, one going the other. In the summer, I have it going. I want to see everything that's going on, so I just have them going one direction, one way. And when you're done, yep. And when you're done, you go to the end of the line. That way, it kind of builds in a little bit of a rest.
You go offense to defense and defense off, kind of thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't. Yeah, and it's kind of like I used to try to do like then zigzag back or something, and it's like they're not in quote unquote basketball shape. So, you know, if you do that in December, then you can basically have 2 lines. You can do it real fast. You can spend 3-4 minutes on it. Boom, 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 we're out. Just kind of get them moving. But in the summer, I want to see everything, because then I can coach them. When they're walking back, I can like, hey, do this, watch this, blah, blah, blah. So that helps when we're using our contact days.
All right. So that's good, because usually we've just been doing a lot of shooting. As far as ball handling, do you do stationary? We do something called dribble series. We do like start a half court and we'll set up a chair on the main basket, like elbow 3-point line, and then on the side basket and the main basket, I'll have them do layups. And so we'll do inside out through the legs, crossover behind the back, spin, hesitation. Am I missing?
How good? Like, give me a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being don't have to work on it. 1 being they look like they picked up basketball yesterday. Where's the whole group?
I'm going to say 4 to 5. Again, okay. I have going into seventh to going.
Yep.
Seniors, so
so I love what you just described, and I wouldn't change any of that. Do you do two ball stuff?
I do. I mean, I think the kids get bored of it because I'm kind of fundamental, but you know, I still do the old stuff that I grew up on, like the corkscrew, you know, spider.
Yeah, but I'm even talking doing the moves with two balls.
No, if I do anything two balls, which we do, it's usually stationary, like V dribble in front, V dribble on the side.
Yeah, see, I would do progression. See, I'm a big believer in, like, even as a warm up, it's the math teacher in me, but I want every drill that I can ball handling to be two balls. Because you're working on both hands rather than just working on one hand. Like, let's say we do fake crossover, right? You could do fake crossover with your left hand. You could do fake crossover with your right hand. And you're getting twice the work. You know what I'm saying? So we do every drill that we can with two balls.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me and the interviews and all that. If you do like these, you know, we've been putting them on for 3 or 4 years. If you like them, we would ask you to subscribe and leave a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, or just send me an email. I'd love to hear from you, steve@ttubes.com. When you're there, maybe come over and check out ttubes.com for coaches who want to get better. Videos, audio, community, one-on-one calls, office hours. So just got off a call with a ttubes.com member. We broke some film down for him. So go over and check that out, and we really appreciate that. And if you have time, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig. Those are other podcasts under the Coach Market media conglomerate, I will call it. So go over and check those out. Let's head back to the podcast.
So I would even I would maybe do some like fake crossovers, or you can even do crossovers with two balls. But I would try to get them moving into the full court doing that too. If you do, this is a funny drill. If you do full court speed dribble with two balls, balls will be bouncing off the wall. So it might just be the first one you might want to do is just speed dribble. Then the next one, maybe do hesitation, right? Because hesitation is an underutilized move. And I always talk to my guys about, it's like driving on the highway. You're going 55, then you're going 70, then you're getting off on the ramp, you're going 30. Changing speeds when you're dribbling is probably the best dribble move. Good players are good at changing speed. They're going very fast to very slow to very fast. All the other stuff is good for YouTube and is great, but if you can change speed, that's a good one. So that's why initially we'll do two ball speed dribble. And I will tell them, and I use a couple of my players. I go, I have professional players. And the balls bounce. If the balls aren't bouncing off the walls, you're not going fast enough. Like, you should go to the point of almost losing it. Like, then you're pushing yourself and getting better. So it's okay when you lose the ball. It's not a bad. I always commend the ones that lose the ball because they're pushing their window of. I said, I can walk home. I always use this analogy. I can walk home from school and I'll walk around the gym. I'll do that too. But I'll say, I can take this ball. I play college basketball, but I can take this ball and I can bounce it all the way home. It's about 2 miles and I cannot lose it once. Have I become a better dribbler? And I'll ask them that. And they'll go, well, yeah. I go, well, I don't think I've really become a better dribbler. I've dribbled, but I haven't become a better dribbler because I haven't pushed myself to get better. I said, now if I start jogging or I go bigger or I start doing moves or I'm in and out of traffic, then I'm probably working on it more. So you want that speed thing. If you just go fast, they're going to lose it and they'll eventually figure out the speed they need to get to. But I would the stationary, the corkscrew, all that stuff's fine for a warm-up, but I would really try to do, you know, two ball hesitation, two ball full speed, two ball crossover, two ball between the hands, between the legs, two ball behind the back. You can do all those drills with two balls. They're harder, but I mean, so what you might want to do is, okay, we're going to do behind the back, you know, zigzag behind the back all the way down the court, full court. And then you're going to say, okay, go grab another ball. And then you're going to do the same thing with two balls. You know, the one in the left hand is going to go to the right hand. The one in the right hand is going to go behind the back. So it won't look pretty, but you're working on more than one thing, and it will give them some variation. I think that would be helpful. So I'm a firm believer in two ball handling as much as possible. Just from a skill development work, obviously you're never going to play with two basketballs in a game, but it just, they're getting twice the work, and especially the seventh, eighth, and ninth graders will get a lot out of it because they're probably still in skill development level. But yes, I like to chair stuff. I like to, you know, don't overthink the moves. They need a move and a counter move. That's all they need. They need a move and a counter move. So maybe your move is a crossover while your counter move is a fake crossover. Boom. If you get really good at those two moves, they're probably all you need. You don't need 16 moves to play the game of basketball. You need a move and a counter move. So when they take the crossover away, what are you going to do? When you get to the next level, you need more. But most high school kids need a move and a counter move, and they need to get really good at it. Because most of the time, you don't need it. But sometimes you do, and when you do, you need the move. And then when they take that move away, you need the counter move. And that's an easy sell to them. So, you know, just kind of go watch that.
Okay.
So I do that full court. I do the half court. I do the stationary stuff. I mean, how long do you have them each day?
Hour and a half.
Yeah, that's plenty of stuff. I would do a lot. I would do the ball handling. I would do the shooting. And I would do the playing one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three. And then what I would try to do is kind of spill it out like, okay, Monday's going to be my one-on-one day or whatever. So just give them you can be working on the same skills. Like maybe one day you're only doing stationary dribbling. The next day you're only doing dribbling in the full court. Just kind of give them variation. You're basically working on the same skill set. You just don't want, you want some, you know, variations of spice of life kind of thing. You just want to make it a little bit different so they don't know they're doing something different, but you do kind of thing.
Okay, I guess the last thing is like post moves. Do you incorporate those with shooting drill, or do you have any? I'm gonna have better big men than guard. I'm not gonna be very strong this year, but my strong point will be my bigs.
So I'm a big believer in miking, but I do two ball miking. Okay. So and again, you should work on the post moves. But I mean, I won't spend too much time on. But I do two ball miking. Have you seen two ball miking where you put two balls? I would do two ball miking, but then I do two ball miking facing the rim. And then I do two ball miking facing the free throw line. And the reason I do that drill is because think about if you drive, let's imagine you're driving the right baseline and you cut under the basket. Sometimes you got to do that kind of flip the other way underneath. And that's the one bigs aren't very good at. So I'll work on that. So I do two ball miking, and then I do two ball miking facing the free throw line. And then I do two ball miking baby hooks. Because kids cannot shoot baby hooks, and they're not you and I are old, but they're not like Lou Alcindor big hooks. They're not floaters. They're just this little like flip I've got a couple bigs coming. I've told them that if you can get that move down, no one can block your shot ever. Like you're 6'6", 6'7". Like who's gonna block your shot? If you can do that little flip. And the left hand will be horrible, but I'd still make them do it, right? Like little flip, right? You know, facing the basket. You know, again, post moves, if you wanted to do that, I would do that in a two-on-two situation. What are you going to run offensively?
That will be our next meeting.
Okay.
My kids are robots.
Yeah, so some sort of motion. So I like that. So okay. So then what I would do is a basic skill, no matter what offense you are in. I would do some two-on-two, offense, defense in the post, offense and defense in the wing, and I would let them throw it into the post. And then the post has to do a move, and the post is going to read what the defender from the passer, let's say the passer throws it in from the wing, that defender is going to do different things. They're going to double the post. Well, if they do, then the outside person's got to relocate. They are going to stick on their man. Well, then the post should do their one-on-one, man, go. Then they don't, when they're not helping on you and you get in the post, go. Cause that's, you got to be able to score one-on-one. So maybe they just turn their head for a second. Well, then you want to teach the wing to flash to the basket. So some of those skill sets, that's the way I would work on post moves. You can do it with three people where you have the passer just throw it in, and then sometimes they'll double, sometimes they won't double, you know, kind of thing. But you just want to give the defender down there a little bit different look. If you give them a different look, yeah, you can do it. And again, the progression of teaching it is I would just have someone throw it into the post and say, okay, here, whatever moves you want to do. If you want to just do drop step, I call them Sigma because I'm old as dirt, but you know, the up and under moves. So, you know, up and under, drop step, baby hook. So your progression, if you do that the first day, second day, maybe put just a defender in there. And then the third day would be do it 2-on-2. So just give them that little bit of progression. And I would have everyone doing that. I would have your guards doing that. I'd have your posts doing that. I'd have everybody doing that. Because they're like diamonds in a rough. If you ever find a guard that can post up, it's like, oh my gosh, it's the best thing ever.
Each of the last 2 years, my best post players were my two men.
Yeah. And it's like the defenders don't know how to defend it. That's the best part. Like twos don't know how to defend other twos in the post.
And the kid I had this year, and we didn't have a full season, 6 foot. So I mean, he was decent size, but he would just want the ball in the post. So I would like run him off a screen and just go four out, and right. He would get his butt into the defender, and he'd either get fouled every time or score.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Up and under. So you just do basic drop step up and under. What was the last one you said?
Baby hook. Turn around. You can do square ups. There's all sorts of, it just depends on how talented the kid is. I wouldn't overcomplicate it.
Okay.
The objective is to try to get to the rim. The objective is to try to get to the free throw line. That's what I always tell them. But I'll write myself a note if you're thinking offensively too.
And again, I didn't have a normal summer with the kids. Our kids ended up playing out a lot. And I think that outside, and I just basically said, you do one of three things. You pass, cut, pass, screen away. And I was having them do ball screens coming from two passes away. So it's kind of like a dribble drive, five out.
Yep.
I finally got a modified coach who cares. So I think now he does basically everything I ask him to. Okay. I love shell drill. I'll talk to you someday about that, but my coach did shell drill. I love shell drill. And I think it's been the best tool that I've had to teach kids team defense.
Right.
Anyways, the modified coach does whatever I ask. So I think the first year I had kids that just, I was basically juniors who were decent athletes that had no basketball IQ and no, I've got a good group of sixth, seventh and eighth coming up. And a lot of those kids are coming into the workouts. I used to just have it for high school. I opened it up to them because they want to be there.
That's great.
And they got talent. So I think that'll change with the new modified coach. I just hope I can keep them there for a while.
Okay.
We're a super small school. We only average about 35 kids in a grade.
Okay.
A graduating class, not a, yeah, so.
Yeah, so you want, so skill works big. You got to find shooters.
Yeah.
Small school like that, you got to find shooters.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, that can help. That can clean up a lot of messes, especially offensively.
I do want to, next time, we start next week, so this is my top priority, just And I've read a lot because my little guy's 8 now. I've read a lot about teaching youth and those small. It's funny you brought that up. I just read an article like last week about small sided games, because they say, and it's true. My son and one other kid will dribble the face off the ball because they can dribble, and the other kids just stand there. And the other kids, and then we played in a makeshift league because of COVID, and got other teams that are trying to run plays. My varsity kids can't remember.
I've been doing that for 30 years. I just never named the damn thing small-sided games. But like the game is, if you, I was telling a friend of my brother's, it's like the game is basically 3-on-3 and 2-on-2. If you watch the NBA, that's all it is. It's just those small little like games, and you got to be able to teach them to play in those small little games. So, yeah. All right, we'll plan on that for next time. When we talk, if we're going to talk, offense, give me like a summary of your what you're looking for, and kind of a summary of your team. Like, tell me your strengths and weaknesses, because then I can kind of modify it a little bit for you too.
Yeah, and then just maybe some drills. I mean, I think a lot of that 2-on-2, 3-on-3, you can implement some of your offense, like.
Well, that's how you teach. I mean, when the guy defending me turns his head, you got to read that and flash to the back. So some of that stuff you got to do inside the small sided games to teach them and show them, because it's just repetition. It's like shooting free throws. It's just it's like they got to read if that guy does that, I'm going to do this. It's like their computer games, whatever they're playing on their phones or whatever. It's like, if you do this, then you got to do that kind of thing. And that's why I asked if you had basketball players, because basketball players just read it and don't think.
No, like, they're getting better. But again, I think some of this with the younger ages will definitely, because I'm working now with the 3, 4, 5, 6, because my kids are coming up.
Right.
I got a modified coach who listens, and then the JVs are always with me. So I think if I can start drilling some of this stuff in the younger kids now, it'll help out a lot. But
I think it will too.
You know, the toughest teams that I played, I got huddle, and you know, I would send one of my guys scout and watch the video. They'd run 2 sets, but they just could play out of those 2 sets. And here I am, I have 8 or 9 plays. The kids,
no, you don't need to play. It's about reading space, and it's about yes.
So I like to get up and down and run. That's how I was kind of raised, and my kids do a pretty good job. They get teams in a lot of foul trouble, but I would like 1 or 2 set, like secondary breaks. Like we used to run kind of Carolina break with the back screen, and I'm going to have good bigs where traditionally Carolina has the rim runner, you know, and you can.
Yep.
So that is, I want 1 or 2 sets and then a couple motion sets. And then if I have to have 3 or 4 set plays, that's it. I'm done having a ton of set plays.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a ton of set plays. I wouldn't have a ton.
You don't either?
Couple. And they don't cross over. If this play does it, then this play doesn't do it. I want like this one to get this. So when you're thinking of sets that you want to show me that I can give you some, but think about like maybe this one gets my 2-3 really good looks, or this one gets my post to look. Now there are going to be other looks inside it, but you never want, you know, a dribble handoff in one play and then a dribble handoff in the next play and then a dribble. You want to use different things and then get really good at them.
Because the other thing I saw too is with the young kids is if you don't do like positionless, you got a kid who's the tallest kid underneath the basket. He never learns how to shoot or dribble because he's tall.
No, everybody should be a guard until they're in high school. Everybody's a guard.
He stops growing, and then I think I told you the first time, like, you know, watching the NBA, like, the white European players are so much more skilled than
everybody's
the white American.
Everybody's a guard until they're in 8th or 9th grade.
The guards can post up too.
They can.
A lot of our guards aren't.
I know.
All right. Well, listen.
All right. Yep. We'll talk in a week or so. Maybe after the 4th. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably a week or two. I'll send you an email. So I appreciate your time as always. Right. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like, no matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify. We love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.